This week's pundit is our thinker from the right, as in less government, more individual responsibility, Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative. Kia ora, Eric.
Good evening.
Welcome back to Nights.
Thank you.
I see the New Zealand Initiative released a report on the case for special economic zones the other day, and I was wondering if you had a hand in that.
Yeah, I was one of the authors on it. I worked on that with Kiati Acharya, who is our research assistant on it.
What is an economic zone? Because when I think of special economic zones, I think of something like, is it Guangzhou in South China, where I think the first real reform of Chinese manufacturing and the start of China becoming the manufacturer of the world began. Is that the sort of thing you're talking about?
Yeah. So Guangzhou started out as a way for the Chinese government to figure out whether they could manage economic reform. So they kind of knew what they wanted to do. They wanted to try it in a small area to see whether it would cause the downfall of the party or the end of the communist government. They wanted to see whether they could have a bit more economic freedom and maintain their political system. They tried it out there. Growth took off. And things were better for everybody. They decided to roll out the reforms more broadly. They contained the political change to a smaller region so they could see what the effects were and shut it down if they didn't like it. Now, we would have argued that liberalization was a good thing and that, well, of course, you should have done it for the whole country. But by doing it in one small area and seeing whether it worked, they were able to get to where they are now. We're recommending here something a little bit different. So we're suggesting, well, three things at once, really. We're suggesting that we could do better by having a more regionalist approach to economic reform that better recognizes differences across places. We're suggesting that we take a bit more humble a stance on whether particular policies might work or not and try them in a smaller space first and let other areas opt into them if they seem to be working and not otherwise. And at the same time, the third part is a bit of a change in how we fund local governments so that incentives are better aligned between local and central government. So when a local government presides over strong economic activity and does the things that it needs to do to let their local community grow, they see a bit more of the benefit of it, which otherwise largely flows to Treasury.
What sort of examples, what sort of differences, regional differences in law or in taxation, would you imagine happening?
Well, we've made a few suggestions in the report of things we think would be good ideas. Ultimately, these should really be coming from the local and regional councils, though, where they'd be proposing these to central government, saying these are the areas where we think that national-level policy or national-level legislation is holding us back and where we'd like to make some changes to try out in our area first. One of the things that I think would be a really nice idea would be to let regions that want more migrants set targets over and above what central government's already allocated. We've made some moves in that direction with Woodhouse's changes to immigration, where you can get more points on your visa application if you agree that you're going to live outside of Auckland for a while. But it's pretty indiscriminate across regions. You just get points for being outside of Auckland, and regions differ. Some places really need a lot more migrant workers coming in for different kinds of needs. Why not let them specify a target over and above whatever the national target is, saying we're happy to take another 200 or 2,000 or whatever number works for them in addition to whatever the central government is running. That lets central government take some of the burden off of Auckland, eases some of that pressure there, without at the same time hurting regions that would really like to have more migrants.
Yeah. Now, you talk about, when you sent your notes through, you talked about humility, which is it's a big call for an economist, humility.
Well, maybe we do a little bit too little of that, but it's hard to say what's going to work sometimes.
Yeah.
We've got some pretty good ideas about what will work. We can see what works overseas, what kinds of, well, at least on blackboard theory, what sorts of things are probably holding us back. But when you implement a national level policy change, it's just so hard to tell whether things that happen afterwards are because of the policy change or because of other things that all happened at the same time to the rest of the country. So changing economic conditions, something that happened with the dollar, something that happened with one of our trading partners. Maybe there was bad weather and that affected dairy.
Is that any easier, though, if you break it down to a regional level?
It is if you make a specific policy change in one place, not in others, and then compare before and after. So you can look to see, say that you implemented something on immigration in Dunedin. You could look at Dunedin before and after the change compared to other places before and after the change that happened in Dunedin. The rest of the country forms a control group then. You've got a trial. You see what happened. If it seems like it's worked out, let other people opt in. Otherwise, get rid of it.
Now, one of the other things, perhaps, is that I can see with this idea is that sometimes at a national level, change doesn't happen because it's politically too difficult.
Yep.
And at the moment, I mean, I've heard other people, not necessarily yourself, but I'm other commentators on the right, sometimes are frustrated with the relative caution of the centre-right government, the John Key-led government, national-led government. And in the way, but the thing is, at a regional level, you're still going to have a lot of people perhaps being resistant to change, and that will still put local councils off trying stuff that's going to be politically controversial.
Well, if there is no place in the country that is willing to try some of these changes, they would never fly at the national level anyways. But there will be some where, even they're contentious nationally, there could be strong regional support for some of these. So we had previously suggested reforms around how mining is handled in the RMA, and we can identify ways that you could get stronger environmental outcomes and better mining outcomes by switching the regime a little bit. We'd had some regional reasonable support for some of those ideas around on the West Coast, but the RMA is never going to get changed at a national level. You could try some of those things in places that want to implement them, not elsewhere, watch closely to see what happens, and then judge the outcomes.
What other incentives might there be? Is there any incentive for a council to take the risk, to take on a change and be responsible for it?
Well, that's why we're suggesting some changes in local financing. One of the things that I see when I look out of the window is constant fights between local and central government, where central government is frustrated that, say, Auckland hasn't been able to sort out its housing yet. Auckland keeps making some what look like reasonable attempts at moves anyways, but it never quite gets sorted. If you break it down to incentives, local councils often bear the brunt of the costs of economic growth, even where it's been a good thing. Central government gets most of the benefits in terms of increased tax take,
yeah.
But councils are left holding a lot of the bag for the costs. If you change that around a little bit so that councils could know that if they preside over stronger than expected economic growth in their region, they would get a share back from the increased tax take that otherwise goes to central government, that would let them commit to some of their residents that might be hesitant about growth, that they'd be making the side payments or other kinds of deals that would help things to go through. So if a neighborhood is resistant to upzoning because they're scared about some of the effects, if council knew that they'd be getting some of the income tax that would be coming out of that or some of the company tax, they could afford to maybe put in another park or some other amenities in the region that would leave everybody better off.
Isn't the council just going to pass it on to its ratepayers and rates relief? Because that would make it very politically juicy, wouldn't it?
Well, if that worked, they would probably be doing a lot of that already, because they do get some increased rates revenue when you do get a new apartment building. It's not quite, it's a little bit more than they currently need, as best I can tell,
I'm assuming
to cover the infrastructure.
If say, Auckland tries something, the Auckland region, Auckland City, and it works, and there's increased growth, and therefore the tax take rises in the Auckland region, and the difference goes back to Auckland in terms of additional central government funding for the Auckland City.
That'd be a conversation for local council to be having with its ratepayers about whether they want enhanced services or a different property tax regime. You would hope that councils would use it to set up the infrastructure that they need to facilitate ongoing growth, because if you set up the incentives properly where they're only getting a share of any increase in tax revenues that they're providing to central government, if you just give everybody in town a tax cut or a lump sum check, that's nice for that year, but it's not setting in place the infrastructure works that might be needed to have next year's kick. So they might be shooting themselves in the foot were they to take that kind of an approach with it.
I mean, to some extent, Auckland has already tried to persuade central government on the issue of transport to change the rules, the local rules, so it could, for example, put in a local fuel tax or maybe a congestion charge. I don't know if they've actually thought about that, but I certainly remember the Auckland Council saying, could we have a regional fuel tax here? And the central government said, no, You can't do that. We're not going to pass a legislation to make that possible. And it's a good example, I guess, of, see, economic growth means more traffic, and it's the Auckland Council a lot more often than not has to pay for that. I know that the national government's paying for the roads of national significance, but there's a lot of roads that get congested in Auckland which aren't state-owned roads.
Congestion charging makes an awful lot of sense. It is really disappointing that central government shot Auckland down on that one. But you could imagine Auckland coming back with something like congestion charging as part of an overall bundle for a special economic zone that could include some changes on how the RMA deals with housing processes and changes to the district plan to make it easier to upzone in places that need it and to extend the boundary to allow more subdivisions to go in, coupled with a congestion charge to defray some of the costs that you might otherwise get with subdivisions going up. If Auckland could convince Central that we're part of an overall bundle that would let them grow and let housing costs come down, I have a hard time believing Central wouldn't listen.
What about, because Auckland is already growing, but, and you talked about differences in the New Zealand economy region to region, and Auckland, whatever its problems might be, there are other parts of the country that might think, we wouldn't mind some of those problems where we are.
Oh yeah, they're very different.
And so I'm thinking about what you could possibly do in a more isolated region like Westland or Northland, areas where there's been economic stagnation and where there is perhaps more deprivation in other parts of the country, though it's not as if it doesn't happen in Auckland either.
Well, I think we're going to come back to my humility point here. Too often we are getting policy solutions that come out of some bureaucrat sitting at a desk in Wellington telling local councils what they think are good for them and are going to be implemented for the whole country. This approach would instead let local communities look pretty hard at themselves and at the sets of regulations and national level policies that are constraining them, figure out what is really holding them back, and pitch that to central government in an environment where it doesn't mean national level policy change, but just change for their community, coupled with a bit of a tax shift going back to the local community if it works out, that would enable them to figure out what works for them. And
what
I'm just
happens,
somebody else at a desk.
What happens, Eric, if, say, it doesn't work and the tax take falls? Will then the central government take away that loss in revenue?
We didn't set anything up like that, no.
So there's a gain, but there's not a risk. Not a fiscal risk in your scenario.
Well, there are a half dozen different ways that you could set up the tax sharing arrangement. There are lots of details that would have to be worked out. How to deal with declining ones is a potential one of these. But think about it another way. If you've got stagnating regions that have been doing poorly, they'd be facing a much lower benchmark in terms of what they'd have to be achieving in terms of growth to be getting a share from Central. So if a region has been presiding over 0% or declining growth, even a 1% growth rate in the amount of tax that they're sending to central government would be a strong increase on that, and they should get a share of it. That would enable them to put in more of the services. It would enable more growth to continue.
Do we have any examples at the moment in New Zealand of any kind of special zone, be it economic or... What about CERA, the Canterbury Earthquake Recovery Authority? It has its own rules for one part of New Zealand to deal with the recovery, the rebuild.
Yeah, we put that in as a bit of a what not to do lesson. I lived in Christchurch for a good period.
Yes, you did.
Particularly impressed. It's one of the reasons that we recommended that instead of having sort of a different overarching body governing the special economic zone, that it really be embedded in the local or regional council and owned by the locals rather than being a new administrative layer put in on top of things by Central.
Is that the main problem of CERA when you talk about how not to do it? Well, was that just the beginning?
There are many problems with CERA, but we can have a chat about that another night.
Yeah, but it's not the model for you.
No, we can look at things like the special housing areas that Auckland's tried putting in. Of course, these are always going to be fairly limited because they're in limited areas. We can think about, as more expansively, the Tamaki Redevelopment Corporation. That's a nice partnership between central and local government trying to achieve some changes in social housing and in social service provision in a pretty innovative framework. It's worth watching what they're doing there. It's not as it's more extensive than some of the changes we're proposing. Ours are more ways of varying national policy at a regional level with the local community on side so that they share in the benefits of growth rather than having... I like what's going on in Tamaki. It's a step beyond what we're here proposing, though.
Say you have... would this be possible? or is it too complicated? Imagine a region the size, it gets a big, it's got a big support base from Green Aligned people that not necessarily vote Green, but maybe are concerned about global warming and whatever, carbon emissions. And it decides, right, at the national level, we think our country is a little bit tardy in introducing incentives not to, to burn fossil fuels. So we're going to, in our region, increase those charges. Maybe it's a carbon charge or whatever. In return, however, we will cut taxes, income taxes or company taxes, so that the overall taxation remains about the same. But what we're saying is, if you're a green business, if you're an industry which is green, come and locate here, you'll get a benefit. If you're a big burner of fossil fuels, well, you don't want to be here, because that's all right, we don't want you anyway. And maybe this green growth might actually happen in this region. Or is that too difficult?
I have a hard time imagining that IRD would do anything other than run screaming from that kind of proposal, because their back-end systems just are not up to putting that kind of thing in. Even our proposal, which is fairly simple, is still a bit difficult for IRD to do. Like right now, IRD doesn't know the total amount of company taxes necessarily coming out of one local council, because things aren't reported that way. They're doing a systems refresh and they're they're increasing their capacity, but they're not quite up to that yet. I think that adding in new taxes at the local level that had consequent changes for individual level income tax, no way that's going to be feasible in any reasonable time frame. You could imagine local council wanting to offset against rates, but they would also have to be thinking hard about whether this really did turn into economic growth down the line, because if it didn't, there wouldn't be a share of the central government tax take coming back to them for it.
And well, that's right. It's only going to work. I mean, it is an experiment, because people talk about, hey, there's green growth out there, and because we're afraid to embrace carbon charges, whatever, we're missing out on it. Well, it's kind of putting it to the test.
Well, my worry
could fall flat on its face.
Well,
everyone moves out of town.
I worry more that some of that kind of thing can be rather distortionary. So if the idea is all of the carbon emitting stuff move out of town, well, you get just as much carbon emitted, but you change the location of businesses for no particularly good reason. And that's another thing that we are wanting to avoid in this kind of proposal, the idea that central government or locals would be setting little conditions where we'd have, okay, well, this will be a tech hub here, and we're going to try and put in some special tax incentives for IT firms to be in this region, and maybe for wool processing in this other region. There's a strong principle in here that if any region wants the SEZ that's been implemented somewhere else, they should be able to get it, and that helps to prevent that kind of winner picking.
Eric, thanks very much for joining us again.
Thank you.
Eric Crampton from the New Zealand Initiative.